Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Lady listeners, we're Morning. Still doing it.
Every time, we're still doing that. Oh my God. Like, it just doesn't stop.
I labeled an email that just for you.
I know. I saw that and I forgot to point it out. Thank you, Mel, for validating me.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody has. Does it make you feel better?
Yes.
Look, it's your week, Tessa, so we're going to shit all over you, right?
I'm being roasted.
Yes, this is just like Comedy Central roast. Yes, that's exactly. Bring out her ex-boyfriends, guys. Come on, line them up. What if we actually did
that? Oh my God.
How horrific.
Well, there'd be very few of them. That would be the most embarrassing part. Two people come out. I'd be like, oh.
Stop it. And Pat just stands in the corner like, yep, yep.
I got that shit early.
It's true. Welcome to Read Me Romance, everybody. I realize we don't describe anymore what this podcast does or how it works, so I'll do that really fast. We bring you an original, professionally narrated audiobook, romance audiobook, every single week from a different author, and we break it up into 5 days, and we wrap it up with a happily ever after on Fridays. And this week is my book. So,
yay!
Halfway Girl.
That everybody was super excited to get. Like, when you said on the podcast, you were like, I think I'm going to do Bernie for my next book. And during season one, when you said that, we got so many messages like, oh my God. Like, everybody just went nuts.
Yeah, that made me really happy.
So tell me where Bernie is. So Halfway Girl, the character in this, where is she from?
Okay, so Bernie is from Runaway Girl. It's a book about a runaway bride, and she goes to Florida, and she has no skills. She has no job skills, but she needs to survive on her own. All she knows how to do is be a pageant. She's a pageant girl. So she sees an ad for a pageant coach, and she goes to this house, and she meets this really, like, badass, just, he's raising his younger sister, basically. And she wants to compete in a pageant, and she looks nothing like a pageant girl. She's blue hair, and her nose is pierced, and she's got an attitude, and she's doing it in the memory of her twin.
I was gonna ask if that's why she was doing it.
Yeah. She's doing it in the memory of her twin who passed away and always wanted to be in a pageant. And so she's doing it to like honor her sister's memory. And so that's kind of like the secondary plot underneath the romance. And so in the end, you know, she does go through the pageant. I don't want to ruin that for everybody, but she never, you know, like, she didn't have a romance of her own. And I really wanted to give that to her. Yeah. Like, she's kind of still in her journey at the end of Runaway Girl. So I feel like I got some closure.
Yeah. Well, and I was so can we talk about this now, or do you want to talk about it in a little bit? Do you want to talk about the book?
I'd love to. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay. So I don't know if I want to tell you who I pictured as the hero.
Please tell me.
What if readers hear it and they picture that while they do it? Like, what if?
Okay, well, if you don't want to know, just mute your thing for like 5 seconds.
Okay, for like 30. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I pictured Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, God.
But, like, I was so fucking turned on.
I know.
Wonderful. My vagina was entirely confused because here he is, like, this big lumbering lug, and he just, like, is kind of quiet, kind of shy, like, virgin, but just big and huge. And I just kept thinking, like, Wreck-It Ralph, I probably has, like, a giant dick. Like, but it was so hot. Like, I loved him, and I loved reading it, and it was great. And that's totally who I pictured when I was reading.
I'm not mad at that. I wouldn't kick Wreck-It Ralph out of bed.
Fuck no. Uh-uh. He was awesome.
No. Yeah, I do have a thing for, like, kind of big, non-traditional heroes. Like, I don't really like pretty men, you know? I like men that are a little bit ugly. I don't know.
Yeah. No,
a little bit of extra padding and are kind of scary and, you know, just scare everybody except the heroine. I don't know. That's something that I really love.
Yeah, they're like, it's always fun when the heroine is not scared of the guy and everybody else seems to be. And they're like drifting towards him. People are like, why are you standing next to that guy? And they're like, what do you mean? He's wonderful. Like, pet him.
Yeah, like, she sees, like, right through it. And she sees that he's kind and that he's, like, you know, taking care of everybody around him. And all they see is this, like, kind of Frankenstein character, so.
Well, who did you have, like, a particular person in mind when you read this?
I never do. I never, I'm never able to picture, like, a celebrity. I think, like, maybe one or two times I've been able to picture a character.
Do you, Leanne? Because I don't think I picture anybody.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. I'd say about half the time. It just helps me with remembering, like, what to look for and, you know, what they're like in the scene. Because sometimes I feel like when I have an image of the person, I can create a sex scene better, maybe. I don't know. Like when we were the other day, we were writing, I can't remember which book it was, but we were writing a scene and I was like, oh, you know, the girl said, well, he looks a little like John Kennedy Jr. And I was like, Eagle's gonna murder me for this because she loves JFK Jr. And she's like, this is just gonna send me down a rabbit hole of conspiracy theories that he's still alive.
He's I remember your comment. That was from Con Artist.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit.
My mother was talking about that last week about how John F. Kennedy Jr. is still alive.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder sometimes, too. I mean, you know, it just seemed like the perfect, like, if he didn't die, if he didn't actually go down in that plane crash, like, what a, you know, perfect way to disappear.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of celebrities that I've kind of, like Elvis and Tupac, and, like, how they were just, like, their lives were just spiraling.
Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden they were gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's insane. But anyways, yeah, so we were talking about that the other day. So sometimes I do picture celebrities just based on that. I mean, obviously Wreck-It Ralph was like the first thing to come to mind. When everybody was like afraid of him, you know, or like kind of annoyed by him, or, you know, like in the beginning, which you guys are about to hear, the first chapter, there's a lot of people who are just like, they use him, you know, because he's big and strong and they don't really care about him. And I just, like, I could see that, you know, him just being this, like, kind-hearted person, and nobody seeing that until Birdie did. And there is a line in it later, and, you know, they have this moment, you know, when they first meet, and he says, you know, she's like, he said, did you feel that, you know, when we met, you felt that, right? And she's like, yeah. And he said, that's when I handed you my heart. And he was like, it was heavy. And I was just like, oh my God, like, this book is so fucking sweet. It's so sweet. I love it.
Thank you.
You have the sweetest look on your face.
No, when I was reading it, I think I read it last night, and I was like, I think this might be my favorite hero of hers.
Aww. Yeah.
And I loved her, too. She, like, gave you all the feels when she'd think about her sister and stuff. I'm like, oh, my God.
Every once in a while, I write, like, a new adult heroine. There's another heroine in another book of mine called Unfixable, and her name is Willa. And
is that the one in Ireland?
Yeah, it's set in Ireland. And yeah. Birdie reminds me a lot of Willa. Every once in a while, I get like, I write one of these new adult heroines that is just like, isn't necessarily someone that reminds me of myself, but it's just like all these insecurities I have get just put into her, and then I feel her so much, you know? And this hero, I feel like they deserved each other, which was nice, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
like
yeah.
They earned each other.
I was going to say, too, one of the things in the beginning of this is that she's diabetic, and I like that you, like, pulled that into it, and, you know, because of your issues with your daughter and stuff like that, like, you just had to sort of discover this, so I thought it was really cool, did this with a heroine, and that the hero had to think about this with her, like, oh, have you eaten today, yeah, like, you know, what's your blood sugar, like, I just thought that was really sweet, and I actually looked up celebrities with
diabetes.
And I thought it would be cool if I shared it. So, hang on. Yeah, yeah. So there was like this top ten, I guess. I don't know. There was a list.
Top 10 diabetes celebrities.
I know. Keira Knightley, number one.
Oh my God! Don't even play around.
What the fuck? Yeah. So there is Bret Michaels, which the lead singer of Poison, which I thought was awesome. And then Jay Cutler, he's the quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, I didn't know him. I didn't know he was.
Yeah. Nick Jonas has had it said since he was 13 years old, he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. These are all type 1 because I realized type 2 is different. And your daughter has type 1, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. And so Anne Rice, Mary Tyler Moore. Another one is Elliot Yaman. I don't know who he said it was.
He was an American Idol contestant. Yeah.
Okay. Sonia Sotomayor, his Supreme Court Justice. There was Sharon Stone, and Halle Berry, yes. But they said that was a little different because she may have gone to type two.
She claims she cured herself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they were like, that was a bit controversial, so I just saved that one on there and then the end. But I thought that was really interesting. I just happened to look it up because I was thinking, like, I wonder if there's, like, celebrities who have
there's a lot.
Vanessa Williams was another one, too, and they said she did a lot with charities and stuff to raise awareness, so I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah, actually, when I was writing Runaway Girl and writing the story with Bert, where we meet Birdie, that's when my daughter was diagnosed. And it just happened, like, where I just wrote her with diabetes. And it was, like, not something I planned. It was just something that I was going through and we were going through in our life at the time. And, yeah, it's so funny that you just read that list because the day we drove home from the hospital, I was just so desperate to, like, make my daughter, reassure her and, like, you know, make her understand that she wasn't, this didn't mean she was I was just trying to make her feel normal. And so I was in the passenger seat, turned around reading her all those celebrities that had diabetes. I'm like, one of the Jonas Brothers has diabetes. And one of them. And, like, you know, she didn't know who any of them were. And I was just like, God, couldn't fucking Miley Cyrus have diabetes? Jesus Christ. It's gotta be like Jay Cutler.
I never wish this on anyone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy that Jay Cutler does. Says it sucks. It really just drains your blood sugar. Any kind
He's
of activity.
He's hilarious.
Is he?
Jay Cutler. I hate Jay Cutler, obviously, because I'm a Packer fan. But I started watching. He's on a show called Very Cavallari from The Hills. Remember the girl?
Yeah,
from
Kristen
the Hills?
Cavallari. I didn't know she had another show.
He's on the show. And there's only one season of it. And he just sits in the background and, like, shakes his head and says the rudest, funniest thing to these people, like, and I just die. He's like the highlight of the whole show. You're like, is Jay Cutler coming back? Where's he at? Is he gonna say something mean and condescending here in a second?
He's like the Scott Disick of the show.
Yes, yeah. He is. And I'm just like, oh my God, I hate that I like you now.
Kristen Cavallari, I remember being so fascinated with her when that show The Hill, or was it Laguna Beach and then The Hills.
Well, and then The Hills, yeah.
Well, she said, she goes, they wanted me to be a bitch and they paid me well to do it, so I did it.
Yeah, she didn't have to try too hard.
I was like, all right.
I love what.
Let's go towards our natural ability.
I just remember when they had like a black and white party on Laguna Beach, and all the girls wore black, and she showed up in white, and I just remember them being like, "Oh my god!" She showed up in white, and I was like, "I don't know the rules anymore." This is what people are upset about. But yeah, those shows were so addicting.
We were so innocent. We were so innocent.
I know. So what happened to you guys this week since the last time we spoke? Anything interesting?
And I realized I could never be a city girl.
What'd you do?
I always realize that when I go to New York, I'm like, this will never work for me. I have to get out of there.
But you guys did a lot of eating, it looked like. I was just living through. Did you meet up with Jen?
Yeah, okay. She was in town seeing a couple of friends, and we met up, I think, twice. For one day she fed us and one day she didn't. She only fed me once. So don't let her pictures fool you.
I was just following her food Instagram. I was like, this is so unfair.
She always eats the best food.
Yeah. I don't have that skill. I feel like I never order the right thing at restaurants.
Well, she's willing to try anything, too. Yeah. I think that's what makes her a good person to go to a restaurant with, because she'll order like four things and she'll just try them.
I love that.
Yeah.
I have friends who order pancakes for the table when we go to brunch. They'll each order our different thing, and then they'll just be like, can we get a plate of bacon and pancakes for the table? And, like, just have that
just
in
like
the center
appetizer.
Of the table. Yeah. And I'm like, it's so amazing.
These are great
friends. They're good
friends. I love them.
I had a weird week. My parents asked me to be signers on their bank accounts in case they get raptured.
What?
Okay. So a few things which is fine. Like, I don't, you know, if that's their belief, I totally respect it. If that's anybody's belief, I totally respect it. But the fact that they think that I'll just be able to walk into a bank if the rapture happens.
You get raptured. What is the rapture?
It's like when Jesus comes back and brings his flock to heaven and everybody else is left behind.
Is this supposed to be happening
soon? Well, yeah, my mom really does think it is going to happen soon.
Oh, okay.
Genuinely.
Oh, isn't that supposed to happen here? Ryan?
I think it's supposed to happen everywhere at the same time. And then, like...
No, I mean, like, aren't they supposed to come here? The temple's where I am.
Where are you? What do you mean, the temple?
Isn't there a big temple? Now that you started saying this, there's a huge temple that Jesus is supposed to come back to? I think it's here in Kansas City.
I just, like, okay, first of all, I'm baffled that she wants to put you as a signer because she thinks you're still going to be here when she
gets. That's the other thing. That's the other thing. Yeah.
That's the, she's like, clearly you're not coming.
She's like, when we go to heaven and you're still here in hell, she's like, can you just, I just want to make sure you have access to our bank accounts. And I was like, if the rapture happens, there's no banks anymore. You realize that, right? We're not going to be able to, like, walk into a bank and just take money out.
Has she not seen The Leftovers? Hello?
Wait, oh, The Leftovers, yeah. Oh,
the show on HBO. Did you ever watch that?
No, but I know Justin Theroux is in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about that. That's what it's about, is there's the rapture and, like, half the people are gone. But they can't figure out why. Like, in some families, it's like some of the people are gone and some of them aren't, like, you know, it, essentially that's what they think it is the rapture, but people just disappear. So that's what The Leftovers is. In case
my mom has a letter. I found the letter that she wrote me and put in her drawer that's, like, there for me to read if they go and I'm still here.
What is it?
I didn't open it. It just says, in case of rapture.
I can't wait. I want you to read that live on the podcast. Yeah. So the rapture letter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just ready to read it.
My mom left me a letter and I was like, what's in? I don't even, it's so thick, you know, like she must have taken days.
Holy
shit. Or she just printed a bunch of stuff off the internet and just folded it up and put it in there.
I just, what if it's like instructions on how to get to her?
Yeah. She's like, please water my plants.
I don't mean to make light of this because your mom is actually sincerely worried about it, it sounds like. So, but is your dad in agreement with this?
Yes.
Or is he just sort of going, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so interesting.
It is interesting.
But you know, it's kind of like those things where it's like preppers, where I find it fascinating. You know, the people who are ready for an apocalypse. I think that's incredible. I wish I had, like, the time and skill to set something like that up, because I don't have those sort of skills. But I feel like if that did happen, my husband has those skills. So I'm okay, but...
I was watching that show, Extreme Couponing. Do you guys ever watch that show?
Yes.
And those women have, like, they have a full-on supermarket in their basements just because they can't pass up a deal.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, we would be so screwed if anything happened. Like, even if there was a storm that lasted 3 days, we would all starve to death.
My parents don't believe in the rapture, but my mom is fully prepared for, like, an apocalypse. Like, there is a D-Day room in her house. It's got antibiotics. Everything you could need.
Yeah.
Food.
I think that's smart.
She's ready to go.
You just never know. And, you know, I've always wanted to learn how to can food because I feel like that is a skill I should know before anything happens. Because, like, you know, and I've read several books that when I was younger about things like that were dystopian and it was in the future and stuff. And that was always one thing that was hard for them, were those sort of skills. That they had to figure out, that they had to learn how to, like, smoke meat so that it could be preserved. They had to learn how to, like, you know, can food or dry things out or that sort of stuff. And I just thought, I need to know how to do that. Like, you know, what if I don't know how and something happens? Where are we going to eat? That's my first worry.
Earthworms.
Is what am I going to eat?
Yeah. My friend who lives in Queens, she has like a little chest and it has gas masks. And she has these tablets that you drop into water to purify it. That's, like, all she has. But at least that's, you know, that's something.
It's something. Yeah. Well, and we have that. I mean, we have a lot of stuff because we go camping a good bit. We have we call them our rumble packs. But it's just our camping gear. It's all packaged up so you can just grab it and go. And, like, we have the water filtration system in there where it's, like, it's like a straw you can drink through dirty water and it filters it out. Or there's, like, a filtration thing for when you're camping or whatever. But we do have those, but your gas mask thing made me think about Tumblr, because there is, like, a page I found on there one time. It was entirely dedicated to women wearing gas masks.
I knew you were
nothing else.
And the guy, like, said in the bio at the top, it said, "Look, I know this is fucked up." And, like, that's all it said. And it was just, like, pages and pages of women wearing gas masks. It was the weirdest fetish, but I thought, I mean, everybody's got their own.
Everybody's,
like,
got
no
their
shame.
Thing. I mean, it's like, but that many no women shame. Posed with a gas mask and no gloves.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, how do you keep getting these images? What? Who does this for you? I wonder if
it's maybe Photoshop or something.
Maybe so. That's true. I never thought about that. But I thought, you know, this is, everybody's got a certain kind of fetish. And this was a really unique one.
Yeah, that is unique. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah.
So my birthday will be tomorrow. When this podcast airs, it'll be the next day. And I'm wondering, like, my question for you guys is, if you ever felt like, is there a certain age where you started to feel different? Was it 30, like, or 25? I feel like I've changed completely in my 30s.
Yeah, I would say, like, maybe 35. That was a big switch.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like, 35 in general, but a lot happened in my life that year. And, you know, I think maybe that's, you know, between, because how old am I now? Fuck.
I'll be 35 this year.
I'll be 38 this year. Yeah, I'll be 38 this year. So I'd say anywhere between 35 to 37. I did like a lot of like change in those 2 years.
How? Like what was, did your mindset change?
No, I think, some of it, yeah. I think emotionally it was a lot of stuff. And, you know, it just like with our family and changing and, you know, moving and doing this project and stress. And I learned a lot about myself, you know, through a lot of stress. So I think that was like, just emotionally, I don't know. I think it was just a big leap. Like before, I don't want to say it was naivety because, you know, obviously I'm 35, like I should know a lot of shit. But I feel like I changed a lot as a person just in that time.
What about you, Mel?
Personally, yeah.
I don't think so. I'll look back like 5 or 10 years and I'm like, whoa, you're completely changed a lot of your mindset. But I don't remember turning an age and thinking it's been different.
No.
Just slowly over time.
I don't know. I feel like in my 30s, like I'm completely, like, I don't know. I'm more able to tell the truth easier. Like,
yeah. It's easier to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
It's easier to, like, I remember I showed Leanne a video of myself from when I was, like, 20 that I would have been mortified probably 5 years to show anybody. But today it's like, this is hilarious. I don't care how embarrassing this is. Or, you know, when you do something dumb, you just say it now. You're not, like, hiding it.
Yeah. Or you just don't feel like you have to defend yourself either as much anymore. Like, you're like, look at what I've done and look at what, like, my past can speak for me. I don't need to defend myself or, like, argue this point because everybody already knows that I, you know, like, that I've done these things and I've lived this life and it just kind of speaks for itself, right? Once you get to a certain age. I don't know. I'm just feeling introspective now because my birthday.
I know.
It's like a fucking bomb going off in my...
Well, I was going to say, we talk about this a lot. You and I even just, you know, before the podcast, we've talked about this, about the birthday blues and... you know, what you're going to do that day and what you're going to think about and how it's going to go. And I think it's, you know, it's, and I know you and I share a lot of the same thought when it comes to, like, it's not that I'm depressed that I'm getting older. It's depressed that it's not what it was, you know, like, it's like you said, it's not this huge fanfare. It's not a big deal anymore. And it's not that nobody cares, but it's that, I don't know, that nobody cares enough.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Nobody cares the right way.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's not like, okay, like, we're all going to plan a big dinner and get dressed up and go make a huge deal out of it. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh God, another thing we have to do. It's like a slog.
Yeah. And I don't want to be just, you know, on a to-do list. I don't want to be a chore. And I think, too, you know, as you get older and as you say, like, you're able to, you know, kind of see yourself maybe a little more clearly. And just not give a fuck anymore. Also with that comes, you know, some self-reflection about, like, you know, your own anxiety or, you know, anything else that you might have going on, depression or, you know, like, whatever you see around it. I feel like I'm more honest with myself about those things as I get older. You know, not just in relationship to my life and with other people, but with myself.
Yeah.
So, and I think that, you know, that honesty and that truth is... what makes it sometimes more difficult when something like, you know, your own celebrated day, your own birthday, that's like this really great thing. I think that's what makes it so much more reflective is because you're introspective about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Okay, so we have your sex.
So we have a camel rented for your birthday.
As you said that, I said we have your sex. We have your sex fantasies that you guys sent us. And like I said last week when I was recording my introductions for the middle of the week, they're not what I expected at all. So different than what I expected. And like in the best way, they're very surprising.
So for your birthday, that's what we're going to do. It's on your birthday. We're going to read these. We'll read some all through the week.
We could do that, or we could read a couple today and do the rest on Friday. I think that's what. All right. So I'm going to just give a couple disclaimers, and I'll do the same thing on Friday, but a couple of them, and I want everybody to know that, like, I celebrate all of your kinks and everything you sent. A couple of them were illegal, so we can't read them.
Which is totally fine.
Whatever, you know, because like whatever you want to fantasize about in your head totally is yours fine. And you can own it. And
this is a safe place for you to get your illegal kinks. Totally cool.
But we probably can't read it out loud.
Yeah. We can't say it, but it's okay if you do.
Yeah. And I also want to say that if we like laugh a little bit, we're only laughing because we're talking about sex fantasies out loud, and no, we're not laughing at you or your fantasy whatsoever, because like I said, when I posted headquarters to ask for these, like, you should see what we're into. In most cases, you know what we're into, so
and it's illegal. Some of it's definitely illegal. oh and also, were you gonna say trigger warning, or are we gonna do any of those? Some of them you didn't want to read.
Some of them I left out. Some of them were rape fantasies. And I think there are plenty of popular books that delve into that kink and do it sensitively. Some don't do it sensitively. But, you know, we have like a big audience here, and everybody's got their different triggers. So I just left those ones out. There weren't a lot of them, to be honest, but.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say too. Like, that's a common fantasy for, you know, someone to break in and those kind of things, or, you know, to be taken in that aspect, you know, as a woman, that's when you're most vulnerable. And I think that that's a common fantasy, like you say, for a lot of people. And it's like, when you send it in, you know, if you send us a rape fantasy, you are not alone. There were tons of them, like, and it's totally fine. And, you know, we share these fantasies and these thoughts and feelings. Yeah, exactly. Like, we have our 4 submission series. There's like, you know, 7 or 8 books in this. And so, you know, that series, obviously, we celebrate this. So, you know, if that's your thing, like, that's totally awesome. But we didn't want, you know, a listener who isn't into this, or who may have been sexually assaulted in real life, to hear this and to be triggered in any way and to be upset. And that's why we just want to be super sensitive about that and read the fantasies that we can all celebrate together and enjoy.
There's a break-in one here, but it's not, there's a twist to it. So, like, I did leave it in. Yeah. If you are looking for books like that, like Alexa Riley has the 4 submission series, that's a good one to start with. I have one called Rough Rhythm that plays with that fantasy, and I think, you know, like, I did it pretty sensitively. So, and then Lila Pace has a book called Asking for It that's like a little bit darker. It's definitely on the darker side, but if you wanted to explore that, I recommend that book. It's a good one.
Kara Cormack?
Cora Carmack.
Cora Carmack. That one, Willing Victim. That one
is... Oh, no,
is,
you're thinking of Kara...
She's thinking Kara
McKenna.
Kara McKenna, is that? Okay, okay. It's The Willing Victim on that one.
Cora Carmack writes, like, really lighthearted, like, new adults and YA.
New adults,
So don't read that. Unless you want your... maybe you read that after.
People are
going to
be so confused. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, The Willing Victim, though, one, it's really tough. So, like, that one's a dark one. So if you've got, like, if you're ready to get into it, that's a good one.
All right, so I have a couple. I think I'm going to read one. Leah's going to read one, and then we'll read the rest on Friday. This one's just funny that made me laugh. So. Because I think she was trying to. And again, and we're not going to read anybody's names. So from the many times I read those dirty sex scenes in a book, it always gets me going. And I always try to test out the things in my books on husband, who mocks my reading choice. Until I'm using him as an experiment. But the one thing I have always wanted to, but never have, is so basic, just hasn't come alive. I want hardcore up against the sink and wall in a bathroom in a bar with my skirt up around my waist. Why? No idea. I just can't get my husband to commit to the idea, no matter how many times I suck his balls.
Oh, that's great. I mean, no to self, that gets shit done. So I'm really surprised that he hasn't given in.
But that's maybe that's his plan. He's like, she's just going to keep asking you, but she keeps sucking my balls. Yeah. Maybe you stop sucking his balls and maybe
you'll God. Look at, we just solved your whole marriage for you. Stop. Yeah. Stop sucking his balls until he gives you the bathroom wall sex. Yeah. There we go. Leah, do you have one?
Yeah, I do. Okay. So I'm going to try to not say the name again. Hey, Leah, Mel, and Tessa. Blow is my fantasy that I'm way too scared to share with anyone else. Scared. Getting taken from behind by my boyfriend against the kitchen counter when his housemate's boyfriend comes down the stairs. So I had to think about this. So it's her boyfriend's roommate's boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah, sounds like
his housemate's boyfriend comes down the stairs, sees us, and starts getting himself off. Oh my God. Listen, yes. Nothing's better than voyeurism. Shit is my
I have such a voyeurism kink. I love
Fuck
it.
Fuck yeah. It says, we make eye contact while my boyfriend continues to fuck me. And then the housemate boyfriend comes over and I get lavished with sexual attention from both of them. Can't wait to hear the episode where the fantasies air. I absolutely love having you three in my earbuds every weekday. And then I wish I could say your name because you're a sweetheart, but I won't.
I do love the idea of that. Just like, oh just somebody watching and just getting super horny from like watching you get taken.
Do you remember Boogie Nights?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, I watched that way too young. But there's the scene where she is outside. Oh, for real. She's outside and she's getting railed by this dude on the ground outside. And there's a group of guys standing in a circle around her watching it. And her husband, like, comes out of the house. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's just like, go away. And, like, she's, like, getting railed. And it's just, like, it is the hottest fucking scene. I think about that all. And it's not supposed to be. But it's so fucking
What's that movie where Jason Statham, like, is it Crank?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
If you guys haven't seen Crank, there's a scene where he has to keep his adrenaline really high or else the bomb is going to go off inside of him or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, like, in order to keep his adrenaline up, he fucks, what's her name? In public, like, on a public street with everybody watching.
Yeah, everybody's watching.
Amy Smart. Amy Smart.
Dick. Yes! Yeah. She's sucking his dick, and he's like, I always think about it. He's like, oh, that's really nice. And she's like, she pulls off, and she's like, no way. The second you come, you're going to go to sleep. Fuck you. And she won't let him come. So, like, they keep fucking. Oh, my God. It's so
So, like, the whole movie was written for that scene, right? Just so they could
Absolutely.
Do that scene?
100%. Yes.
All right. Should I read one more? Should we end it and then read the rest on?
Let's do one more.
Okay.
Let's do one more.
I think I have another funny one here. It just made me laugh because of the way it was written, I think. Hey guys, she says you can totally put my name, I don't mind, but I'm not going to do it. My ultimate fantasy is being tied up with two men sucking each other's cocks while stroking every part of me. Then I want one man to fuck me while the other fucks him. Then I want to be spanked so hard it's going to take me 2 weeks to sit down. After that, I want to see both men fuck each other. That's as far as I can go while writing this at my friend's house. I was like, she just had to send us it, like, that moment. Like, she's like, I have to tell you about this.
Like, yeah. She's like, listen up, bitches.
She's like, pause Gilmore Girls. I have to send an email.
Oh, my God. That's the best. What if she really was watching it? That's awesome.
What else did you do?
Oh, no, that's so fucking good. I love that. You know, there's something about, like, being a voyeur and then having, like, watching two people get off. There's something really great about that. And there's also something great about then having two people fuck you. Like, I love everything about that fantasy. I could see all of that. I mean, I don't necessarily get off on two guys, but I would get off on watching that happen. Yeah, for sure.
I'm writing a male right now, and I've been watching a lot of gay porn.
Is this your first? Have you done this before?
No. So I have one male book that was in, like, the Made in Jersey series called Wound Tight, and then I wrote another one, but I never published it. So this is technically.
I read Wound Tight.
Did you read it? And then, so technically, this is my third one. I love it. I really love it.
Why did you not publish the other one?
I think I was just a little insecure about it because it was like I just had this idea. It's about virtual reality and how, like, in the future there's going to be virtual reality stars that, like, you can date people through virtual reality. So okay. All these people, it's kind of like sci-fi. So all these people are, like, dating this made-up character in their VR headsets. They like, they talk to him, they sleep with him, they eat dinner with him, and he's not real. He's in their headset, but he's actually a real person who's had his image recorded and his voice recorded. And then that person escapes the factory where he's had all this, where he's being held and he's been recording all this stuff. And then all these people who, they look at him and they see their, the guy that they've been in love with this whole time. So he's like this hot commodity and he's being stalked and chased and, you know, he escapes to like this compound and he's under the protection of like this ex-SEAL and like all the walls have crashed. Like it's like, it's very dystopian. And so I think that's why I was insecure about it, because I was like, what am I doing writing a futuristic dystopian book? And it's stupid. And I just like never published it. Yeah. And I loved it. It was called Dreamboat. I don't know. I don't know why I never published it.
That sounds good. But I was going to ask you, I think it's been so long. Is Wound Tight the one where they do stuff outside the bar, like up against the wall?
Oh, outside of a bowling alley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come outside. Okay.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
It's like very, for some reason, whenever I write a male, one of them has to be kind of like an asshole, kind of a parental type. And the other one is like kind of just like sunshiny and like kind of like just coming into themselves
and maybe in
the closet. For some reason, I always write that like pairing. But
I like that though.
Yeah.
So you're writing a male right now.
Yeah, it's going to be called Heatstroke and it's the second one in the Beach Kingdom series. So that's coming soon.
So it's two lifeguards fucking.
Yeah, one of them.
I'm down for this.
Yeah, lifeguards. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
I'm going to pay attention to that.
Cool. All right. Should we send them into the first installment of I'm like, what book are we here for this week? Oh, Jesus.
Yours, asshole.
Halfway Girl by yours truly, Tessa Bailey. Enjoy. Yep. We'll see you on the other side. Bye.
Chapter 1. Birdie. College is exactly how I pictured it. I don't know if that's disappointing or a huge relief. I'm sitting on a ratty-ass couch in a frat house with a red Solo cup wedged between my knees, scooting closer and closer to the torn arm as the couple making out beside me become connoisseurs of each other's mouths. The scent of shit cologne and fruity body wash and Pabst Blue Ribbon is so strong, it's a wonder no one has keeled over from it. Maybe I'll be the first if the utter unoriginality of my surroundings doesn't do me in. The song changes and Halsey's voice rasps out from the portable speakers wedged in between empty cups and paper plates on the coffee table. I tip my head back and let it rest on the back of the couch, trying not to fantasize about the quiet haven of my dorm room. If I was there right now, I'd have my sketch pad on my lap, creating new stage looks for my beauty pageant coach sister-in-law Naomi. Maybe I'd be listening to the Moth podcast or studying for my trig test next week. Whatever I decided to do, it would be for myself. This party, this whole scene, it's for someone else entirely. A lot like me, Birdie Bristow, rushing a sorority. It wasn't something I planned, but walking through the quad one day after class, I heard one of the sorority sisters on a bullhorn talking about the attributes of their organization: kindness, charity, community, drama. It was impossible to ignore how familiar those things sounded, how they reminded me of someone whose memory I'm determined to preserve. So, I stopped at the Kappa Kappa Gamma table and signed up for Rush Week. I'm in the midst of it now and I feel trapped in someone else's body, but I have to admit, the sisters have been pretty nice. Only one of them flinched when I walked into the opening day luncheon with my shock of blue hair and cool story bro t-shirt. The saliva soulmates press even closer. The guy's Drakkar Noir punching me in the throat, and I shoot to my feet, throwing an absent salute to my roommate, Carlene, who was dancing across the room. She signals to the packed kitchen, then mimes taking a sip from an invisible cup. Movie. No. TV show. I nod. Okay, first word. Her forehead creases. What? Charades. She's nonplussed. Never mind. I wave her off, muttering to myself as I weave my way through my peers toward the kitchen. Next time she listens to Hootie and the Blowfish ironically, I'm not going to pretend I like it. I wave a cloud of marijuana smoke to the side and sidestep into the kitchen. Two huge kegs hold the place of honor on a rickety wooden island straight out of IKEA. Dudes sporting backwards hats and football jerseys play bartender. Pouring foaming golden liquid into the almighty red chalices and pass them around while women, many of them fellow Kappa Kappa Gamma pledges, dance in the limited space around them. Carlene was clearly urging me to have a drink and loosen up, but my mouth opens to ask where I can find a bottle of water instead. I'm past a full beer before I have the chance, though, and a chilled wave of lager coasts down over my knuckles. Okay. Thanks. I start to reverse back out of the kitchen, planning on dumping the beer in the dead potted plant by the frat's front door, but a dude I've never seen walks into the kitchen. And how the hell did I miss him? He's big. Like, pull a big rig with a chain tied around his waist. Big. At least half a foot taller than everyone in the room, he's wearing a football jersey that indicates he's a senior, with a white S. And while the garment is probably the biggest size produced, it's struggling to contain his huge chest and overall wideness. Everyone has to cram together to give him berth as he carries a metal keg over his head into the kitchen and sets it down with a thunk on the island. A cheer goes up among the mass of bodies, but the big guy doesn't smile or acknowledge it. There's a line of concentration between his eyebrows so deep it could cradle my finger, and it only deepens as he scans the room with a guarded look. A couple of his teammates slap him on the back, but his body doesn't move. It's like pebbles bouncing off a boulder. Why am I still in the kitchen staring at him? I don't know. Maybe because he's the one thing tonight that's out of place? Wait, sorry. Make that two things, since I am also distinctly out of my comfort zone. He's in a football jersey in a frat house, the epitome of belonging, and he couldn't look more uncomfortable. He reaches up with a paw, complete with five thick fingers, and tunnels them through his short, midnight black hair. That hand pauses midway through its journey when we make eye contact across the jam-packed kitchen, and my stomach performs a pirouette. Oh. I've been caught staring, and I still can't look away. Maybe I have contact high from all the pot smoke circulating through the house. It's just that he's also not looking away, and my body seems to appreciate having his attention. My belly is still flopping like a hooked fish, and I have the oddest impulse to angle my body in an advantageous way. Or fix my hair, even though it's not broken, as far as I know. I've brushed it at least once in the past couple days, right? What am I wearing? I wet my lips nervously and try to remember my outfit without glancing down because that would make me look either crazy or straight up thirsty. Oh, right. Black leggings and a black tank top. Lime green bra, straps of which are probably showing. Boots. Okay, Birdie. Whoa. Turn the crazy train around. A, since when are you interested in athletes? And B, since when do you think one of them would be interested in you? Taking this whole sorority girl persona a little too far, aren't I? I take my first real sip of beer tonight and turn on a heel, traveling back through the marijuana smoke and re-entering the living room. There's a weird twist in my chest, and I can't completely check the urge to look back over my shoulder at the big guy. And he's still watching me. Although now he seems embarrassed over getting caught, dropping his gaze to the ground and shifting on his size 900 feet. I twist back around with a grudging smile on my face. Jesus, I really need to get out of here. My brain is being a dumbass. Noticing the saliva soulmates have ventured into groping territory, I set my mostly full beer down on the cluttered coffee table. Leaving this for you guys in case you want to refuel. They make no move to stop kissing. Cool. I wave at Caroline across the room, letting her know I'm heading home, and give her the international sign for, "You coming?" She gives me a subtle head jerk in response, indicating the football player she's been seeing off and on for a couple weeks. In other words, I'll probably have the room to myself tonight. I'm kind of looking forward to it, because I'm overdue a phone call with my brother, Jason, and my new sister-in-law. I don't want an eavesdropper, especially when I speak with Naomi. Probably because she's the only person in the world I can be 100% honest with at all times. When I tell her I'm rushing a sorority, she's going to have questions, uncomfortable ones that make me think too much about why. I'd rather not have my roommate eavesdropping on that conversation. I swallow hard. On second thought, maybe I'll call Naomi next week. "Big J!" A loud shout from the kitchen draws my attention, and I pause on my way to the front door. "Where are you going, man?" One of the keg-operating football players is addressing the black-haired, gargantuan pod giant, and he seems reluctant to respond.
"Upstairs," he says finally. "You need something else before I go?"
Holy shit. His voice is like an earthquake. It's deep, rich, and rumbling. Strong. It makes my nipples gather into tight buds inside my bra, forcing me to swallow a gasp.
Yeah, keg dude grins. "Can you bring up one more keg from the basement? It would be a pity if we ran out too early."
Some foam spray catches him in the forehead, and he wipes it off with the shoulder of his hoodie.
"I'd go, but I've got my hands full pouring drinks."
I wait for Big J to call bullshit on his teammate and point out the real reason he doesn't want to carry a keg up from downstairs. He's not physically capable. At the very least, it would require a major physical effort, whereas it's probably like lifting an apple for Big J. I'm not sure why I continue to stand there in limbo, caught between the living room and the door, but there I am, arrested by Big J's reluctant nod, the way everyone in the kitchen essentially ignores him. Not one person addresses him or says hello as he wades through the people half his size, careful not to step on anyone's feet. No one even says thank you to him for being their beer delivery service. Why is this irking me so bad? I back into the shadows as he passes through the living room. He hesitates at the top of the stairs, turns, and scans the room. Whatever he sees or doesn't see makes his shoulders sag. And then he's gone. Vanished down what I assume are the basement stairs. My empty dorm room is calling me. I've almost made it alive through the rush process and have a good chance of pledging Kappa Kappa Gamma. I've earned a night without people or talking or wearing pants. Yet, I continue to shift in my boots, a tug in my belly guiding me toward the basement door. It's not fair that he's fetching and carrying for his teammates and no one is helping him, or even thanking him. He wouldn't have been Natalie's type. The thought doesn't come out of nowhere. My sister's tastes and personality are considered, no matter if I'm picking a sorority or deciding which satellite radio station to play in my dorm room while cleaning. Not for the first time lately, the looming question of what would Natalie do makes my palms damp, makes discomfort rise. I give myself a quick mental shake and refocus on the guy who just vanished down the stairs. I did partake of the beer, didn't I? Albeit only a small amount. A thank you is an order. Right, that's exactly what I'll do. Say thank you, asks if he needs help, and then I'll go home. That's what I tell myself. But as my footsteps echo on the hollow stairs and I descend into the basement, my heart sure is pumping hard in anticipation of a casual thank you.
Hey guys, we're back.
Hey!
I hope you enjoyed that.
I did. I loved it.
All right, so I feel like I feel weird promoting my own stuff. but...
Toot that horn, girl. Tell us everything. What's on sale? What do you got?
Okay, so I'm going to put Getaway Girl on sale because it's the first book in this girl series. So it's Getaway Girl, Runaway Girl, and now Halfway Girl, which you're listening to now. So Getaway Girl's on sale. It's also an audiobook.
Are you going to have more in this series?
No, this is it.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So just like the duet with the audio.
The duet and then this novella now. Renaissance Man, which was my first Read Me Romance audio, it's out now in ebook. So
do you have bonus content?
There's bonus content. She's in a burning building. He's got to rescue her.
Stop it. Oh my God. This is my favorite of season one, I think. It was so different and so good. Like, I just fall in love with that story. And so I'm so excited to read more from it.
Thanks. It's, it's a satisfying happy ending. Like,
is it in Kindle Unlimited or are you doing it?
It's in Kindle Unlimited. It's free in Kindle Unlimited. Also in KU is Mouth to Mouth, The Major's Welcome Home. That's what I've gotten in Kindle Unlimited, and maybe one more follows in Kindle Unlimited. So I'll put all those links in the show notes.
Now, you talked about Heatstroke before. When is that coming out?
I think it's going to be mid-March. I'm almost done with it, but...
Well, that's just a few weeks away.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So...
Yeah.
I don't have the link yet,
probably.
Be on
the lookout for that.
Maybe I'll put the Goodreads link down in the...
Oh, that's
in the show
idea.
Notes, so you guys can add it to your TBR if you want to.
Okay. And if they like Runaway Girl, or if they like Halfway Girl, if they like that and they like Wreck-It Ralph, what's another hero-heroine mashup that you would compare this to? That you feel like, okay, if you love this book, what other book would you get?
For sure, I would check out Worked Up. It's a hero named Duke, and he's a mechanic, and he doesn't want any... Mel's nodding. He's
like, is he the one with all the sisters?
He lives with his four divorced sisters, and yes. He wants nothing to do with women. He wants nothing to do with any women. He wants to watch Sports Center and grill a steak and have a beer and everybody to leave him alone. Yeah. And he's what I call a pouty man bear, where he's like, he's a man, he's got extra cushion, he's got body hair, he's a real man. And you know, this like sweet little artist stumbles into town and she needs his help, and of course now he wants something to do with women. Just her. But yeah, it's called Worked Up, and it can be read as a standalone. So I would check that out. Yeah.
Is there any other sales or anything we need to share this week?
No, I don't think so.
I wanted to mention something in case people are looking. Yesterday was Sunday, so A Single Glance by Willow Windows came out. So if you've been waiting for that, it is now finally live. You guys should check it out. The book bio sounds interesting. I'm definitely going to be one clicking on it.
Willow Winters.
It sounds very possessive. Yeah, Willow Winters. I knew she would be tempting and a beautiful mistake, one I would make again, even if it cost me everything.
Ooh. And Willow's going to be on the podcast soon.
Yep.
So
yep.
Get a head start and check her out. She's amazing. All right, Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make say your bitch. Don't be a dick.
Bye.
It's Tessa's birthday tomorrow. Make sure you shout at her.
Bye.
Read me romance, read me romance, read me romance, read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine, or you could sit back, relax, and unwind.